Hello and welcome aboard this podcast of RTÉ Radio 1's maritime programme Seascapes, which is presented and produced by Marcus Connaughton. You can email the programme seascapes@rte.ie. Hello and welcome aboard this week's edition of Seascapes, your maritime programme. As the Clipper Ventures Round the World Yacht Race prepares to depart from Rio de Janeiro, we'll be talking to derrywoman Helen Black. Brian Carnan, who has just completed the first leg aboard Old Putney, meets some of the crews as they prepared prior to the race start. A few weeks ago here on Seascapes, we spoke to Flag Officer Commanding the Naval Service, Commodore Mark Millett, on the day the Ellie Eimear was decommissioned. She's to be auctioned shortly, so Seascapes met up with auctioneer Dominic Daly to hear more about the sale of the vessel.
Department of Defence put an advertisement in the paper for interested persons to conduct the sale. I applied, and an interview board by the Department of Defence and the Naval Service, I was subsequently appointed to sell by auction the Eimear and also, sometime later, the Aoife, both of which are being replaced by two new builds. So it's really a good news story. The Navy are getting two larger, newer ships. The auction is taking place at 12 o'clock on Wednesday, 23rd of October. Yes, there is international interest. We have had considerable interest from abroad already, and some people from abroad have even come down to see the Eimear, despite her being in service, but she's coming out of service I think this weekend, and after that they'll remove the armament and the radio room, but other than that she will be sold very much intact, and she's quite an attractive proposition for all sorts of offshore uses, or possibly some towns in Ireland or harbours are considering establishing maritime museums, so it's quite open where she may go yet.
And both of these vessels, of course, as they stand, are seaworthy.
Oh, they're very much seaworthy. Both are in condition. They were built in Cork. There were four of them built initially. The Deirdre, which was sold about 10 years ago, and then the Eimear and the Aoife, which were slightly larger, and there's also the Aisling, which is a sister ship as well. But they were built in Cork, in Varome, and the best materials were used. And they've been well maintained and well cared for over the years. As you may know, Marcus, I have been selling vessels over the years, particularly for the Admiralty Marshal and other state organisations, and I have built up a network of international contacts, and we've already been in touch with them, and the response has been quite heartening. There is one issue when you're selling a naval vessel, and it's going to be used for commercial use. You need to establish class, and a naval vessel is exempt from a lot of the regulations and paperwork that a private vessel has to have before it can go anywhere. I don't think they'll be used as passenger vessels, but they could be used in the luxury market, as the Deirdre is now being used. She was converted into a luxury yacht, and already interest has been expressed in that regard for the Eimear.
You can read more on the Seascapes webpage, which is www.rte.ie/radio1/seascapes. Next Thursday night in the Stella Maris on Beresford Place, Pat Sweeney will give an illustrated talk on the loss of the Curlogue. That's in the Stella Maris at 8 p.m. on Thursday next. Next Friday night, the 18th of October at 8 p.m, there's an illustrated talk with cinematographer, naturalist, musician, author and photographer Jim Wilson, and regular contributor and friend of Seascapes, about his recent trips to Antarctica. That's all happening at the Sirius Arts Centre in Cove. Tickets are €10 and all proceeds benefit the Sirius Arts Centre. This weekend, the Global Open Water Swimming Conference takes place for the first time outside the US in the Rochestown Park Hotel in Cork. And we'll have a full report on next Friday night's edition of Seascapes. We welcome all those attending. Now on Seascapes to the Clipper Ventures Round the World Yacht Race, the first leg of which has just reached the Brazilian port of Rio de Janeiro. A few weeks ago, Seascapes talked with dairywoman Helen Black, who joins the race this weekend, about her interest in sailing.
I absolutely love sailing on Dunleary. I go out twice a week. I think it's a fabulous sport because really you can start sailing at any age. And I know, where in the country would you have three or four sailing clubs in such close proximity? They all run adult sailing courses. So, it's never too late to take up sailing. But yeah, the strange thing is, I grew up in Derry, but I never sailed there. And even though we have the fantastic River Foyle and the estuary and all the rest, I never actually sailed there. I did more canoeing when I lived in Derry. And I'm doing two legs. I suppose you do so much training for this race, it seems pointless just to do one leg. You need to kind of do two legs really to justify all the time and effort and money that you've put into this. So yeah, off to Rio in a few weeks' time to join the crew. And then I'm doing the leg 7, which is San Francisco to Panama, through the Panama Canal, which is a great year to go through the canal because it's the 100-year anniversary next year of the building of the canal. Then on to Jamaica, up into New York, and I get off the boat there, which to know that the race has gone into Derry is a little bit unfortunate because I really would like to sail up the River Foyle back into Derry, but there you go.
You'll be sailing on the Derry boat?
It's called Derry Londonderry Dura, CV30, so anybody who wants to watch the race can catch it on the Clipper Around the World website, and there's a race trail where you can check the positioning of the boats. Every 3 hours it's updated. So that to me again was extra special. Here I am, Derry person, although now living in Dublin. And first of all, I get a Derry man, Sean MacArthur, as my skipper. And hey presto, about a month ago, didn't Derry Londonderry cough up the money to sponsor a boat? So yeah, I'm absolutely thrilled about that. And strangely, out of the 55 crew on our boat, there's only three of us from Derry. Sean, myself, and another girl called Bridge Boyle. It's the thing that kind of took me by surprise. I went over to London on last Friday night for the Clipper crew party, which was fantastic. And then we helped the boat prep on the Saturday. And then the 1st of September, on Sunday, the race started. And as you know, they were all in St. Catherine's Dock, which is right beside Tower Bridge in London. Fabulous location. The weather was kind, the public were all out in support, the race village was open, there was a real build-up of atmosphere. But I suppose because it was leg one, what I hadn't anticipated was the fact that 10 crew members are around the world crew members, and for them this was a real emotional journey because they were leaving their friends, family, loved ones on the quayside. I have to say, when I saw the Derry Londonderry boat slip through the lock out of the Thames, I did feel a bit emotional, and I was thinking, wow, there goes my crew. I won't see them now until Rio, but it was great, absolutely fantastic, and the City of London did us proud. Thousands of people lined the banks of the river on the bridge. The bridge was ceremoniously opened for the boats to pass through. Four boats went up river and came back down again. There was, dozens of boats on the water seeing them off. So lots and lots of spectators and lots of public support. The statistics show you that 40% of the people taking part in the Clipper race have never sailed before. So that's a very large part of your crew are complete novices. Now, in saying that, I did 4 weeks training. One was an optional course, which is navigation and meteorology, which I do a classroom-based course. And the other 3 weeks were all out in the water. And I have to say, it is pretty grueling training. In fact, I think my level one training was so horrific because there was 11 of us training. And I think at one point, out in the Solent somewhere, there was 8 people throwing up at one stage who were seasick. And I learned one important lesson from that, Marcus, which is if you think people are going to get seasick, don't serve them tomato soup at lunchtime. Thankfully, I was one of the people who wasn't seasick, but I still managed to catch pneumonia on that trip and was quite sick when I came home. But nevertheless, you know, you have to dig in there and get on with it. And the training is really good. And I think it was my level 2 training, I actually had an ex-skipper who'd done the 11-12 race, and it was fantastic to have somebody of his experience literally shown us the rope. So, yeah, good. I always wanted to sail across the Atlantic. And, you know, the opportunity presented itself because I went up to see Clipper coming into Derry last August on their stopover. And you can't help but be carried away with the tide of enthusiasm when you see a race like that in your hometown. So I literally signed up there and then with the recruitment manager and decided I was going to do at least one leg. And, you know, I picked the South Atlantic because I decided I wanted to see those big rolling seas from Rio to Cape Town. And in the last race, the record was broken in leg 2. I think the record stands at 29.3 knots or something. And these new Clipper 70 boats are hoping to beat that record. Oh my God, I never thought I'd see the day where I have an opportunity to sail into New York and pass the Statue of Liberty. And to be honest, in any of the footage I've looked at this race, it doesn't matter what port they sail into, it is a magnificent sight. Whether it's Rio, Cape Town, Albany, Sydney or whatever, these are magnificent cities, and what a way to approach a city than by sailing in on the water. So there's a huge variety of people take part in this, and in fact even the age range in this year's race is from 18 to 73, which is fantastic. I'm in my mid-50s, and I think the average age is in the Clipper race is 46, so I'm already over the average, Marcus. Yeah, my husband actually, as he likes to tell all his friends, my wife's running away to sea. But apart from that, I have a son and daughter. My son's a doctor working in Dublin, and my daughter works in the fashion business in London. So they're all hugely supportive of what I'm doing. A little bit afraid, I think, because none of the three of them are sailors themselves, so they don't really know what I'm getting into. But, and I should mention my rather large Siberian Husky dog, who regularly takes me for exercise.
As Helen mentioned, the Clipper Ventures race will stop over in Derry next July. The various competing crews prepared last month prior to departing for Rio, Brian Carlin spoke to many of them, first to Conor O'Byrne from Baldoyle, whom we last heard from earlier this summer. Conor is raising funds and awareness for the Irish Underwater Search and Recovery Unit.
Well, I came over last Tuesday. It's preparation week this week, so basically 12 boats here are in Gosport, just getting them ready, make sure they're ship-shape to go around the world. So today we're heading off now, lovely sunny day here, we're heading off now, do a 400 mile race, head up to London then, and then we have another week up there where there's a race village getting ready for the race, September 1st.
Are you nervous?
Yeah, very nervous. Parade of sail last night, it was amazing to see these 12 big massive 70 foot yachts. Oh, just go up Portsmouth, turn around and all come down, and you could just see the crowds lining up, just witnessing them waving. And great atmosphere, and it's great to see.
And what do you expect over the next kind of 2 or 3 days? What's it going to be like?
Tiredness, hunger. No, the hunger's well. We're well stocked up, we're well fed. Tiredness, we stayed out last night. We were the only boat that stayed out last night after the parade of sail. We got a lot done. We sorted out a few tweaks. So we reckon we're in good position. We know the boat sails well. So hopefully now today go off, race well, see what happens.
Great. Best of luck.
Cheers, thank you.
Conor O'Byrne, whom we spoke to on Seascapes in July, the skipper of Derry, Londonderry, Durra, is Sean MacArthur.
Looking back, I can say it's been going well, but if you had asked me this question midweek, you probably would have been faced with a blank stare. It's pretty overwhelming. We only took delivery of the boat on Monday, And I mean, it was more or less fresh out of the boatyard and into the water. So we were given a shell, and we've just been collecting bits and pieces, everything from the bigger stuff, booms, spinnaker poles, sails, you name it, everything, basically putting the boat together. And luckily we've got a tremendous team, and all the guys came down early to help out, and without which there's no way we'd be leaving today. So awesome effort by everyone. Superstition dictates that the winner of these prologue races never go on to do well in the actual race. So not making excuses, but definitely we're not going to push ourselves for this. You know, we literally hoisted a sail on this boat for the first time yesterday. We were all really pleased with how it performed. We were pleased with all the systems, you know, bar a few minor teething problems. But we're not in a position where we want to push the boat and have any breakage this close to the start. So now we're going to take this delivery race as a chance to get to know the boat, get to know each other a bit better. We're not going to kill ourselves. We want to arrive in London with a boat ready to race and a crew well rested, not coming in beaten to death from a 290-mile or trans-channel slog. So yeah. No, we'll take it a little bit easier, I think.
All right, well, look, I think I'll catch up with you in London, but enjoy the race and best of luck to you and your team.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
On the foredeck, Brian Carlin met the skipper of Invest Africa, Andrew Cross.
I'm sailing with Team Rich, and we had the exciting news today that we're going to be called Invest Africa. On all boats, there are a myriad of ropes, lanyards, everywhere. And because it's a new boat, these all need proper fittings. And presently, I'm doing a whipping at the end of the rope, which in layman terms will basically stop the rope from fraying.
Okay. Now, we're somewhere off the French coastline right now. The race has been a bit benign, let's say. It's been quite gentle. Well, we started off with a bit of breeze, but it's died overnight. Over the last 24 hours, I mean, how have you been feeling about the whole thing going in? The race is only starting in a week's time.
I signed up for this over 20 months ago, and the closer it's got to start day, the more happy I've been to get going. And I'm really excited to be out at sea at last. It's adrift, but we're out at sea, and we've got plenty of opportunity to prepare our boat for the podium position. There's millions of preparations to do, whether that's from stowing and loading all the food for 20 plus people for 35 days. Places have got to be found for all this, so this all has to be stowed away. We have to do an inventory that will make sure our sails are ready to be used at any time, whether that's heavy wind or no wind at all. And so there is plenty for everybody to do, and on top of that, we've got to find somewhere to stow all our own gear.
How did you find out about this race?
I was having lunch with a lawyer friend of mine in London, and he knew a friend of a friend who was doing the last race. And it just so happened that very same day, I'd seen adverts for it in the London Underground. That's 20 plus months ago, and I signed on there and then. Mind you, only for one leg, but now I'm doing the whole thing.
Wow. And is there a particular leg you're looking forward to doing?
Leg 1 to 8, it's got to be all of them. They will all have their different conditions, different wind, or lack of, cold, hot. We're going to experience everything.
You know, living conditions down below, as I've discovered yesterday, are far from ideal. Two toilets, 24 people, a very small galley. Do you think that's going to cause problems for people as we get on and tempers start to fray and people aren't getting sleep? And do you think there's going to be a certain psychological experiment to be held on?
I think the biggest challenge for us all is not necessarily the sailing, but getting on with each other. And there's a trick with doing that, is never take a problem to bed with you, to your bunk, and leave all problems in your wake. So if you do have issues with fellow crew members, and you're right, there will be tension from time to time, sort it there and then, and it won't get a chance to fester.
Former rugby league player Craig Forsyth told Brian Carlin about conditions as they put the yachts through their paces.
Currently heading towards a mark, which is just off the Cherbourg Peninsula. We're under motor due to the fact that there's absolutely no wind whatsoever. Got a beautiful bowling green of a sea. which is not ideal, but deal with the you can only play with the cards you're dealt.
True. So you're actually coming up on watch now. You're into the watch systems. Do you want to just tell me a little bit about how that's all working?
It's working all right, really, for me. Not a big lover of sleep anyway. Just get what you need. So, yeah, it's 4 hours on, 4 hours off for at night, 6 hours through the day. It sounds bad, but it's doable quite easily. You just got to get into it. With this last week, obviously, we were doing all our boat prep. I've learned a bit about the mechanics of the boat in this last week. So, in regards to that, all that's good. I like learning new stuff and such as like that. But with regard to race tactics and stuff like that and plans of race route, it's not really got too involved with it at the moment, one thing at a time, eh?
Sammy, you are an ex-rugby league player, I've been told.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So what are you doing on a boat off Cherbourg?
Well, you've probably got more idea of that than me, honestly. I've got, I don't know, it's just competitive edge that's still there. It's just escalated, really. It's just flipped from one thing to another. Tried to get an interview, get that bit. Tried to pass an interview, get past that bit. Accept your place. Yeah, okay, I'll do that. And then you just think, well, just escalates from there. Booked a leg just to get my spot. Did a week's training. Thought, yeah, I like this. Let's do two legs. Thought about it at Christmas. Added it up to 3 legs prior to that. And I worked out how long 3 legs was, and I just thought, oh, come on, you just might as well do a lot, because you're going to come back off this, you're going to have done half of it. You'll have to do it all in one go, so, you know, let's just get it over with. The majority of the sailing I'm looking forward to, even in the different conditions, you know, rough seas, I really look forward to. I'm quite into the adrenaline side of things. Calm seas, I'm kind of looking forward to that in a way, because I want to test the frustration of myself, see where my breaking point is, if there is one. And then really looking forward now to going to Australia. Got friends dotted around all over there. But doing Sydney Hobart race, it's like being a jockey and doing Grand National, really. You know, it's just, you know, that's the only way I could describe it to my friends when they were asking about it. So, yeah.
The pinnacle of sailing, I suppose, is the Sydney Hobart, isn't it?
One of them. Yeah, it is down in Southern Hemisphere sort of thing, really. So, you know, and I was there 10 years ago, something like that, over Christmas time. And basically, I went up onto Watson's Bay, up to Headland, and it's like standing room only, obviously, but it's such a massive thing in Australia to go up there on Boxing Day and watch the boats go out, and end of day, we're going to be on these boats this year. You know, it couldn't get much better, is it?
You couldn't, really.
We leave the final word to Pete Sykes.
Just after watch change, about 20 past 10, it's less than slight. The seas are glassy, the moon's shining very brightly, nearly full moon. We're looking for a mark somewhere down here. We're going to turn, when we reach that, we're going to go turn around there and head off back up to the Great Britain coast, round Margate, Eastbourne, up that way. As part of the course we're trying to sail.
So we're here sitting off the French coastline, and would you mind giving me your full names here as we go around for the crew?
Peter Sykes.
Christopher Hall. Jean Malan.
Robin Soisy.
Helen Jones.
We are waiting for wind, that's pretty much. There was a communication between the CV fleet to check the conditions ahead and also consult what might happen weather-wise in the next couple of days, and definitely as far as wind goes, we would be pretty lucky if we get any of that, our conditions. So currently, depending on the breeze out, there's not even a breeze going now, but depending on any wind, that would determine if we go and do some sail work and actually get sailing, because currently we're just motoring ahead for our turning point.
The engine was throbbing away and there was some deck work which I think was right above my head. Someone was hammering. I think they actually were trying to detect where my head was first of all and then get the hammering spot on, and they did it very well. That didn't help.
This weekend, the second leg set sail from Rio de Janeiro for Cape Town in South Africa, tackling the South Atlantic Challenge. We wish them fair sailing. The Burren Sub Aqua Club is hosting an open night at the Oakwood Arms Hotel in Shannon on Wednesday next, October the 16th, at 7 p.m, with a try a dive at 8 p.m. in Shannon Pool. It's open to everyone 16 or over who can swim and is free of charge. Next Friday night here on Seascapes, we'll be hearing from many of those attending this weekend's Global Open Water Swimming Conference, being held outside the USA for the first time. Author of Sea Spray and Whiskey, Norman Freeman, on what he describes as an Indian emergency. Kieran Devaney has the story of the Malani family from Sligo and the Lusitania. We'll have all that and much more here on Seascapes. So until next Friday night, tight lines and fair sailing.